Welcome to my blog talk radio show, Love Your Music. I'm Margot Joy Denader, and I'm a creative life balance coach, singer, songwriter, and the author of The Art of Living a Life You Love. My guests for today's show are Teresa Ray and Dina Breslin. Teresa Ray holds a doctorate in psychology and organizational management. She is an inspirational life coach, a motivational speaker, teacher, author, and a human resources business consultant. She is the creator of Power Life Synergy, a system that aligns five dimensions of the human spirit to drive awareness, alignment, and action into the whole person experience at work, in relationships, and in your contribution to the world. Dina Breslin has 25 years' experience in sales, marketing, leadership, and success coaching. A former physician's assistant, Dina is still a passionate advocate for holistic and integrated health and wellness. Since 2009, she's been a top leader and founding member of Touchstone Crystal, the at-home division of Swarovski. Dina is certified by three coach schools, including high-performance coaching as taught by esteemed leader mentor Brendan Bouchard. Her practice incorporates one-on-one coaching, small business, and executive coaching. Join us for a conversation about their chapters titled Evolve and Connection from the inspiring new book, Rise, Amazing Woman, Rise. Welcome, Teresa and Dina.
Thank you so much, Margo. Great to be here.
It's great to have you both here. It's always so interesting to have two guests, so there's three of us talking. And so remember to say who's speaking when I ask you or you answer a question, okay? And then that way everybody will know who's talking. So first of all, though, I'd like to talk about Evolve a little bit and your chapter in the book, Teresa. So what that's the power you speak about is evolving. And can you tell us a little bit about that and about why it's important?
Yes, definitely. So evolving, you know, you talk about live your music. This is about finding your music, right? Finding that core of who you are. So when you're evolving into who you really are, the truth about who you are, that's where your passion and your joy and all your strengths live. So this is a sacred space before we learned fear, before we learned how to respond to other people's expectations of us, before we started to let other people define us, like all the cultural conditioning that we undergo, you know, and all the gender roles and all the different roles we play, especially as women. But the Rise movement is not limited to just women. When we talk about, you know, rising into the power of our feminine heart, inside the feminine heart is where we can be compassionate, where we can use all those feminine traits, traditionally termed as feminine traits, like empathy and compassion, and use all those things that are nurturing ability to lead. And it's so funny because in organizations today, while all those feminine traits were seen as weaknesses, now they're strengths in organizations. And men too want to be liberated from the limitations of their gender roles so that they too can show empathy and compassion in the workplace. That's why we have, like, emotional intelligence is really big. You know, it allows us to have conversations in the workplace that, you know, lend itself to vulnerability and trust. Well, all those things are feminine traits, and they are exercised through the power of the feminine heart. And it's too bad because, you know, I think there's still that myth out there that if men lead with empathy and compassion, then they're stripped of their masculinity somehow. But these are all human traits. I mean, we still possess the traits of authority and confidence and all those other masculine traits. They're all human traits, and when they're combined, wow, that is really powerful. So evolving is stripping away all those definitions and all the things that separate us and really moving into the core of who we are. When we lead with our own passion and our own joy, the truth about who we are before we learn fear, we were then able to bring all those gifts. And the most important thing is we're able to provide valuable contributions that we can lend to the world.
You know what? I love that. I absolutely love that. I loved your chapter in the book. I really do. The essential power to evolve. Oh, my gosh. And I love the question that you asked at the beginning of the chapter. Are you listening to your own heart? I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know, you're right. Men and women both need to do that to listen. You know,
absolutely.
Yeah, it's so important. Can you imagine what this world would be like if everybody listened to their own heart and was willing to do what they felt called to do and were happy and everyone could live your music, everyone.
That's exactly it. And when employees do that in organizations, we've been seeing a very positive impact to the bottom line because they're bringing their core beliefs and their, you know, their thoughts and their behavior starts transforming into just, you know, pure passion and joy. When you have that, you have an engaged population. And I call it the power life culture is what I do in Power Life Synergy. You know, we want to build that. And let's see a little bit of that in the political arena, too, and, you know, in other areas of the world.
I agree. Before we go too much farther, though, I'd like to have Dina come on and talk a little bit about the power that she writes about in the book about connection and why that's important. So, Dina, would you give us a little overview on that?
Sure. Thank you. You know, more or less, the chapter is highlighting how precious life is. How important it is that we begin or we strengthen the process to be connected. In other words, you know, there are some of us out there that have felt disconnected to our inner self for a long time. But, you know, some of us we go in and out, you know, throughout our life, feeling connected, then feeling disconnected. We're on the tracks, we're on the rails, and we're derailed. So my chapter is essentially to bring us back to center. That's our inner self voice, to be connected to our inner self voice, where our joy is found, where our truth is found, our inner knowing, authenticity, confidence, health. So I've been excited to be able to share that and what I've learned over the years. Yeah.
You know, I loved your chapter too. I've loved all the chapters, to be honest with you.
It's a magnificent book. Magnificent.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Really.
It really is, and I feel so honored to be a part of it. I'm so glad Marsh asked me to do these interviews and also to write a I Am Rising statement for in the book, too. I put mine with I Am Rising as I live my music.
I love that.
Yeah, but that's what we all need to do. We all need to listen to our heart. We need to get connected with that inner being of ours and live whatever music we hear calling us, which can be anything, you know. It's just sometimes people think my show is just about living music literally. I mean, you know, because it is that. I do have a lot of musicians on. I have authors on. I have all kinds of artists. But it always has to be they're living from their heart, and that's the basic bottom line of it. And it doesn't have to be in just one way. I think that because there are so many dimensions to people, that there's a lot of ways that you can be living your music. And I think I'd like to go back to Teresa a little bit about evolving too, and about how important it is to be willing to change and to take a look at what you've been doing and how you're, you know, being willing to evolve. Can you talk about that part a little bit, please?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I always say, you know, if you're not living your truth, then you're not truly living. And, you know, I really feel like we're all in this beautiful, colorful tapestry of humanity. We're all knitted together. And if one person has not evolved into the truth about who they are, all their brilliant colors and everything they have to offer is missing. And that really hurts all of us. So I feel like it's really important, one heart at a time, to really question, you know, are you living your own story? And if you could write your own story, what would it say? You know, we want, it's, I think, for me, I had to have a pivotal moment in my life that really pushed me to coming full circle with my evolution. And that was right about the time that Marsh said, hey, would you like to write a chapter? So, yeah, if there are no accidents. So I was actually evolving as I was speaking to Marsh about the Evolve chapter. But, I don't know if you want me to go into this now, but I was going to talk about that pivotal moment that pushed me into this, or...
You know, I kind of do. And then we'll talk to Dina a little bit more about connection right after that, okay?
Yeah, absolutely. And Dina, I love what you said, too, you know, about connections. We go in and out of it, you know. And, and when I say evolve, it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. Because we will go in and out of situations and get stuck, you know, and not evolve. It's easy to not evolve. And then when we break through and we learn those lessons, we come even closer to our truth with greater lessons and greater things to offer the world. And for me, I learned that through my sister when I was in the, we were both in the foster care system. And I hadn't talked to my sister in like 20 years, you know.
Wow.
It was just, you know, many reasons in our adulthood why we couldn't connect. But definitely through the foster care system and all that. So she calls me right around this time that I left my job of 10 years. I was building out Power Life Synergy. I was moving. There's lots of changes. And I was seeking intentionally to be aligned more with my spirit and really evolve. Well, there she was telling me that she had stage four cancer, and I was on her bucket list.
Oh.
So... over the past 6 months, we started healing. We started this healing journey. And when that happened, I realized that she was also living in other people's definitions. She didn't realize all the great things that she had done. And they started to reveal themselves to, or reveal to her, the life, the really wonderful life that she had led. And one of the greatest lessons she told me was that of unconditional love.
Oh, you're making me cry.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Well, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
No, but I mean cry both ways, you know, sadness and tears of joy. I mean, the idea that she helped you and now it's helping other people realize how important it is just to be yourself, and that's how you make your contribution is by being yourself, not by trying to be someone else.
That's exactly it, and I think that's the most important part of it. How can, my mom always said, you know, if you don't give your blessings and everything that you learned to others, then they're meaningless. You know, the whole idea is to give it back to the world. And that's what my sister did, and she realized it in the end. And not the end, it's a new beginning for her, actually, is the way that I look at it, but... You know, it's so funny that we both were in the stages of evolution and transforming.
Mm-hmm.
So it was, there are no accidents, you know, that happened at the right time. And then enter Marsh.
Yeah, enter Marsh.
I love Marsh. She's got impeccable time. I love that woman.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, I think everybody loves Marsh. Marsh is pretty amazing.
Yep.
Dina.
The energy.
Dina, what have to say about that and about connection?
Yeah, so, you know, over the years, I mean, certainly as Teresa has said, you know, she's had pivotal moments. I've had pivotal moments, of course. And, you know, through all my years in healthcare as well as in sales, I've learned by being sort of an anthropologist, if you will, sort of the study of human nature, that many people are living lives that are not as connected as we could be. Clearly, in this generation, in this age, in this time space, you know, we have social media, we have fast-paced movement where women in particular are wearing the jacket of doing, and we often get disconnected to the being aspect, whether you call it feminine or not. And I just loved how Teresa put it. We are
sort of neutral in that. We are human, and I love that. Mm-hmm. And what I've learned is that life can be super messy and difficult, and this is all okay, and it actually serves as a clue. You know, when our life is in chaos, when we're spiraling, it's a clue. When our health comes mm-hmm. knocking, you know, these are all clues, and you know, it's for us to reconnect, to get centered, to find our inner knowing, our inner truth, and our most authentic self, rather than spiral out. And people spiral for years; they literally spiral mm-hmm. for years. And hopefully, my chapter in this book in general will get people to be taking better ownership and agency with their own lives. You know, it's also okay. I've learned along the way. I mean, I've had three or four different careers. I was in pharmaceutical sales. I practiced medicine as a gastroenterologist. I was an at-home mother and a wow. top-selling direct sales director. You know, so and right now, life and business coach as well. So it's perfectly okay to reinvent yourself.
I can totally relate because I've done several different careers, including I still work part time with my husband in his awesome mm-hmm. graphic design and photography business, and I love that too.
Cool.
But it's not enough to just do that. I need variety, and there's just more ways for me to live my music. And one of them is doing the show, and one of them is my book and the coaching and the different things. But, you know, I think that, unfortunately, too many people think they have to be just one thing and just stay that one thing forever. And I couldn't do that. I mean, that just would be too boring to me. It's like it becomes drill after a while mm-hmm. instead of joy.
Well, you're very connected. You're
yeah.
connected to your source, which is telling you to follow your bliss in different avenues. The whole point, really, about connection or disconnection is, you know, so often people are disconnected. And they're not listening. And it really requires pause. It really requires centered,
yeah.
you know, listening to the inner. That's why meditation is so important. That's why prayer, however you define it, can be so powerful. Replaying and rewinding. You know, that's another thing. We're always going so fast. You know, we hardly get the chance to pause until we're bopped over our head with a family, you know, dilemma, with a healthcare dilemma, or something that causes us to pause.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And it's in
exactly.
that pause
yeah.
that we can reflect. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have seen
so
that
true.
Happen so often with people, is that they end up getting whatever kind of illness they need at that time to pause. You know, whether it's a cold or the flu or cancer or heart disease or something, you know, that causes them to have to slow down and listen to what their inner being, their spirit, is trying to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And
right.
I could totally relate to your story in your chapter, Dina, about the when you were at that coaching the coaching training, and then you get a kidney stone, because I had one for the first time a year ago. It was almost exactly a year ago. It was on March 31st of last year. And, oh, my God, you're right, so about how painful it is. We're right down the street from the hospital, and I had to call and have the paramedics come and take me to the hospital.
Oh, gosh.
And
it
was amazing.
If you have children... Yeah, if you have children, it is no joke. It is, you know, bearing down, and you're birthing that thing. That's how it goes.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. But yeah. That,
right.
So that story, I could really relate to that story about that. And we were supposed to go up and go skiing with my aunt and uncle up in Bear Valley on Easter, that on April 1st. And here I am in the hospital in the emergency.
Oh, man.
And, but, you know, the cool thing is that went through quickly. They said, you know, if you feel good, you can go.
God.
So we went on the trip, and I was skiing the next day. It was amazing. But I could really relate to that. And, you know, what you said in the chapter, Dina, though, about Brendan saying, have you given yourself permission to live your purpose? Oh, my gosh, that whole idea of giving yourself permission, that to me seemed like a really, really important point, and I wanted you to talk about that a little bit too, please.
Sure. Absolutely. I mean, it broke me. It broke me. It was like I heard that for the first time, and I thought, oh my gosh, I haven't been giving myself permission. I have been playing small. And again, it's inside that pause that you can comfort your own inner self and say, it's good. Congratulations. Or here's the path for you. Because really you're listening to the voice of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yep. And who better? And, you know, it could be, you could call it God. You could call it universe. You could call it higher power. Whoever's listening.
Source, inner being.
Yeah, source. Yeah.
Gabriel.
Right. But who better to comfort you and say, you know, and give yourself permission to, you know, move in a direction that might be scary because you're going to be probably moving through some messy stuff.
Right. Well, you know, it's so sad that we all really actually don't realize that we need to be on our own to-do list and we need to put our self-care up at the top. You know,
yeah.
It was 20 years ago that I realized that I needed to do that. I wasn't even on my own to-do list. And, you know, everything else, everybody else was, especially my son, who was 9 at the time, everybody was on my to-do list except me. And I think that we all need to give ourselves permission to take time to, like you said, to have some time to yourself. So I started getting up really, really early, actually when he was a baby, because that started giving me at least a little bit of time to just be me. But it wasn't until 1999 that I started really doing more of it during other times of the day and realizing that we all need to take time for what's important to us, you know, and that nobody's going to just give us permission or tell us, oh, go ahead and take time for yourself.
Right.
You know, I mean, everybody's so busy and they don't want to have a pause because they don't want to have to think about what's going on in their life that maybe is wrong. And an interesting thing that my son was saying, I thought this was pretty insightful too, is that a lot of people are afraid to look at what they believe because they're afraid if they're wrong about this one thing, it could unravel all these other beliefs about their own reality and their life and what they've chosen and so on and so forth. So this whole idea of being willing to evolve and then the idea of connection to your inner being and connection to other people also, it all comes from listening.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
So which one of you wants to talk about that a little bit and just say your name and then talk about that?
About listening to yourself? This is Teresa.
Yeah, listening to yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I love what you said, Dina, about the clues that we get. And, you know, the first thing I do every morning is I do my gratitude and spiritual meditation. I just do that every morning. I have to set myself up for every encounter with that attitude of gratitude. But when I get a clue that I'm in fear or I feel anxiety or something's going on, that tells me that I'm misaligned somewhere. If I feel tension in my body, you know, the mind, body, and spirit, I believe, have to be synergized. I use that word synergy a lot because it's about taking all the pieces and putting them together in your whole person. And when I feel that fear, I invite fear, you know, along with me on my journey as much as I invite love. I'm writing something right now that is called Fear is Love in Action because I think that fear gives us that clue when we feel it, and it's saying, hey, there's no love in this fear zone. I need some love to come in, to step in, and, you know, what happened to that? Where do I go now with what I'm learning in this particular situation? And for me, listening to myself, and that means I have to have that sense of well-being. And POWER is actually an acronym that talks about positive emotions, optimism, well-being, efficacy, and resilience.
And when I go through that system and I check myself every day in every situation where I'm starting to feel anxious, and that core of who I am, it forces me to listen. You know, where am I misaligned? Where's I need some awareness about that so I can figure out how to get back aligned with who I am.
You know, that sounds so true. I mean, it's like when you feel out of alignment with yourself, you feel out of balance with your life, you feel out of balance with everything else. And I was talking with Heather and Pamela about balance and self-love, their two chapters, and Heather was talking about balance, and at that particular show, I was feeling really out of balance right then. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I'm feeling more in balance again, but a lot of it's because of being willing to pause and listen to what I needed to hear from my inner being, I mean, you know.
Right, because this is Teresa. The soul sort of whispers, you know, and fear and anxiety and all those things shout at us. You know,
exactly.
But we have to be still and really listen to what our soul is saying.
I think some people are afraid to hear what they're going to hear, though. I think, how does one of, Dina, do you want to talk about that,
Dina,
maybe?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's more or less the thing is, again, let's go back to life is hard and messy sometimes. And the interesting thing is there's this sort of illusion that staying in the same path is safer. Of course, we call it the comfort zone. And we know that to rise up and stretch out and enlarge, you know, make our comfort zone larger, it takes work. It takes effort. And so we don't kind of gravitate towards that because, you know, quote unquote, our ego is telling us in our ears that, you know, you don't want that. That's going to be hard work. What, you know, you don't want to change careers. Look at, or you don't want to leave that husband, or you could never do that. How could you afford that? It would cost you a fortune. You're not ready for that. Or, you know, just eat what's comfortable. That's why we call it comfort food. Do you hear how that, I mean, like there's so much that the ego sort of, hypnotizes us to think, and the real true self, when you really listen, you know, you're smarter than that, and we're smarter than that, and we can anticipate. So here's the thing. If we're not willing to take time, I would suggest at least making some concrete lists of things you like in your life and things you don't like in your life. You know, things that are yeses, things that you're grateful for, just like Teresa said, you know, making that part of your routine day to day, or, you know, five days out of seven, where you're not just making the list. Like I have a client right now who's just making a list and that's all. And she's completely disconnected to gratitude. She's living in, you know, disconnection. And I'm saying to her, well, read me the list, read what you're writing. And now I can hear why. Like I'm grateful for my house. I'm grateful for my dog. I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for, and I'm going, okay, I can see why you're not connected. And so if at least be making those lists and taking the time for yourself and going for walks and jotting things down, I always say, write. If you can write it, it doesn't belong to you anymore. If you can get it up and out.
Say that again.
Write it, if you can journal painful situations, if you can journal egocentric voice like old story, it no longer belongs to you. You can see it on the paper. You can let it go if you want, or if you write something of beauty and gratitude, you can read it as often as you want. You can choose that. But when it's in your mind, it's just bapping around in chaos. You know what I mean? And it owns you rather than you owning it. So I encourage people to write. Get it out so you can see it from a different perspective.
Yeah, writing is so important. It's interesting looking back on it. It was in the beginning of 2001 that Cheryl Richardson inspired me to read The Artist's Way, and I started doing, I thought, well, I'll try a month of morning pages, 30 days, like she said, 30 days in a row, and see if it makes a difference. And I really didn't like it at all the first couple days, two, 3 days or whatever more. I can't remember exactly when it kicked in, loving it, but I ended up going, oh my God, I love this. And I told my brother about it, and he's like, well, I'll write it on my steno pad. I was using 8.5 by 11 yellow lined pads of paper that I could hole punch and put in my binder. And just putting the day and the date and the time on each page of the three pages so that I didn't have to number them or whatever. Anyway, he goes, I'll try it with a steno pad. So he, I can't remember how long later, a little bit later, he goes, Margo, can I have one of those yellow pads? And, you know, both of us have been writing morning pages since 2001.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and but, you know, it's a conversation with our own mind and spirit. That's what's so cool about it, is that getting up that 30 minutes earlier in order to do it, I look forward to it because it's how I can hear about what my spirit wants and what it enjoys and what's right for me, and instead of just listening to what everybody else is doing and have that as a start for the day. And it sounds like you both recommend that as well, the writing. Is that true?
This is Teresa. Yes. In fact, I have it on the Power Life Synergy face page, this gratitude and giving challenge that I put out there. And it's all about taking the week to really focus on and keeping gratitude in the present. You know, because when we respond with an attitude of gratitude and giving, how are we giving gratitude, making somebody else feel grateful? Then all of our interactions are, you know, so much more powerful, so much more powerful. And I love what you say, Margo, you asked the question, what are you thankful for on your Facebook? And I love that.
Yeah. Well, you know,
awesome.
That's the thing is that you just derailed my train of thought. I was just thinking what you said, I just love too, though, about people being thankful for things that we do. You know,
yeah.
I mean, that's the thing I think we all forget is that people can be being thankful for things that we do, not just us being thankful for what other people do.
Yeah. And even when, this is Teresa, so even when they're experiencing something in their lives and they're focused on the problem and focused on that darkness, and it's, I'm not saying be happy all the time, you know, we need to go through the darkness, but carrying that positive light that allows you to learn through it and to pick up the lessons from that darkness so that you can remember what you're grateful for and what life is all about. It's not this one problem that can seem like your entire life and very consuming, but it's not your entire life. And when you give to others, you know, it just comes back full circle. Of course, we can't give from an empty vessel. That's why self-care is very important. But sharing our gratitude, yeah.
What do you have to say about that, Dina? About the thankfulness?
Go ahead. Yeah, I mean, I feel like writing is a good start in the morning. But, you know, I usually do bookends for my clients, which means in the morning, sometimes people have the propensity that they want to write. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they're up and at them and they're kind of in the throes of getting their kids up and going. So I just ask them to sort of center for a few minutes and do deep breathing and just imagine their day, maybe send out some great energy to people in prayer. But the evening time, I like to have them, I'll have them have a notebook or a journal next to their bed or on their pillow. And I like to have them do the noticing. What are they noticing that they replay their day that is in alignment with their best self, in alignment only? I don't want them to hover over things that went wrong that day. I only want them to notice and find gratitude for the day that is in alignment with their best self. So what I do that for about 7 days. So that they can really get a good flow going. And then I'm trying to get them to live the gratitude in the moment that those things are happening. So it's in the reflection at the end of the day, that exercise, I want them to start reflecting throughout the day. Now they're only doing 10 minutes before bed, let's say, but now I'm going to have them, I want you to take the 30 seconds or the 90 seconds and reflect over that argument you just had with your spouse and what was great about it.
immediately. You know,
mm-hmm.
and let's say, you know, you went out and you did this call, we did this call today.
Right.
Instead of rushing to the next thing, for 90 seconds, reflect on the positive, feel
yeah.
it, let it anchor into the subconscious, you know, and then go about to the next thing. So it's a process with, you know, my clients. Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say that reminds me of Wayne Dyer saying about whatever you do just before you go to sleep, it's like you marinate in it overnight. So to be,
right.
You know, I have a little heart-shaped stone that is kind of a minty green color that I keep near my lamp on my bedside. And I
mm-hmm.
always pick that up at night just before mm-hmm. I go to sleep and think about what are the best things that happened today? What am I grateful for? And that's
mm-hmm.
a way that you can kind of bookend it, too. I don't write about it at the end of the day because I'm usually too tired. But I go to sleep thinking
mm-hmm.
about the things that I'm grateful for. And
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and this is Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I started the Gratitude and Giving Challenge, people who have taken it, one person said she would like to do a vision board instead of journaling. She's very visual. So they're doing a vision board with the other family members to bring in gratitude. So I think that's just, it's just, there's so many ways to express the gratitude. I think it has to be
mm-hmm.
what resonates with the individual.
That's
mm-hmm.
so true. That's so true. In fact, you know, my Instagram, I don't think of it at all as a business loan. It's not. It's just, it's almost like a photo journal of things that I just feel inspired to share each day that I want to see. And then also, I think maybe other people will like to see. But you're right. I mean, it's like a visual journal in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
The right.
Things that I'm grateful for or thankful for, or people I'm thankful for, the show. I love doing this show because I love talking to people about what they feel inspired to do and what comes from their heart. Can you believe it? We've only got like a little over 7 minutes left. This time is just flying by.
Oh, wow.
It is. Wow. That's fast. Well, hey, time flies when you're having fun and when you're
there
in the zone.
Go.
We are in
yeah.
the zone.
You know, one of the things I'd like to talk about a little bit is, Dina, in your chapter you talked about dancing with no. And I think that's pretty important. I'd kind of like you to talk about that a little
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. So, you know, again, it's creating a list of no in our lives whereby, for example, we could say no to chaos. So as
mm-hmm.
soon as it comes up, as often as it comes up, we will replace it with something else. So let's say we say no to blaming, no to gossip. We can have no's, no to mediocrity,
right.
you know, no to energy zappers. So, you know, we can have these declarations, and then we replace it with, okay, well, if we're going to say no to mediocrity, what the heck does that mean? We're going to
and then replace it with a yes, I guess.
Yeah.
What is, what
yeah,
are
you're replacing
yeses?
It with a yes, yes to excellence. And what does that look like? You know,
nice.
If we're saying no to chaos, we're saying yes to structure, yes to having a more intimate, beautiful relationship with time, the gift of time. You know, a lot of
times
chaos is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, time is a gift. Yeah, and it goes
oh, yeah.
by quickly.
We all have the same amount of time. You know, when you're in chaos, uncomfortable. Teresa mentioned it as well. Like, if you're not feeling, I could be as specific as if your head's pounding, your blood pressure may be up. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't
mm-hmm.
know. But, you know, if you're binging on sugar, there's a physiologic thing that's happening with your hormones that's giving you clues. If your
yeah.
heart is racing, and it's not because, you know, the most handsome man came in the room, you know, if you can feel those things, you're skipping a beat, you know, not in a good way, those are, you're having aches and pains first thing in the morning. You know, you've got some changes in your appetite or changes in your bowels, whatever it is, these are all signs that we can, you know, take note of. And they're telling us something. As Teresa said, you know, we got to be aware of what these things are telling us.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So saying no could be saying no to sugar, which is an addictive, you know, eight times as addictive as cocaine. You know, are we saying
yeah.
yes? Saying no to chaos might be, I'm going to sleep.
I'm actually going to sleep. I'm going to have better sleep hygiene. I'm going to sleep for 7 straight hours. You know, I'm not going to do screens before 2 hours before bed. You know, those kinds of things.
And by screens,
it's
you mean
it's a dance.
Computers and phones and
yep.
email
yeah.
and things like
TV,
that.
Yeah. TV.
Screen time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've only got 4 minutes left, and I love what you said. And I'd like Teresa to say a little bit about what she wants to leave people with, too, because we just have this little bit of time left. So I want you each to think about, Teresa first, what would you like people to think about? And then, Dina, you'll have a chance. And you've got 2 minutes each.
Okay, so this is Teresa. And, yeah, I really would love people to just think about who they are. And it's so easy to fall into other people's definition of you and fall into their expectations, which leads to your behavior. Stay true to who you are. And if you don't know who that is, dive. You know, I studied with Tony Robbins and the Robbins and Medina's coaching program, and they talk about all of our needs. There are 6 basic needs. And when one of those comes up, one of those needs are unfulfilled, we really feel it. And it's so easy to gravitate towards somebody else's definition or somebody else's story to make us feel better again. But we can meet that need within our own story. So the first question I ask my clients is, if you could write your own story, what would it say if it's just you? So I encourage people to stay in gratitude, stay in the powers of the feminine heart, you know, which is compassion and empathy for others, and just really leading with the power of your heart and seeing people with the power of your heart. That way you will stay connected to your truth. And,
that's beautiful. You
really use fear as a tool. You let fear make put love in action.
That's beautiful. It's something that can help us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
And Dina, you've got a couple minutes, so and then we're going to be losing our live connection. So what would you like to say?
So, you know, I would say the first thing I would ask everybody to consider is giving yourself permission to really be your best self, be more than do. So if that requires hiring a coach to see and hear things that you maybe can't see and hear, it's so important. It's real. Change does not happen in stretch of that comfort zone does not happen A, overnight, and B, on your own. So be okay with that. Get some help, enlist some allies. And the next thing I would just say is, you know, really, you know, create a list of no. You know, once and for all, what is it that you will not tolerate in your life? And make a commitment to those things, and not only make a commitment to removing them from your world, but you can't remove stuff and create a void. You must replace it with something else, which will require study, which will require learning, which will require writing. And again, it's helpful to have an ally, a coach on board for that. So, you know, I would just say put yourself first here. Like let 2019 be lean and mean for yourself. Lean and mean in 2019. you know, for all about you.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
That's great.
Oh, my gosh. I am so thankful you guys are living your music and inspiring other people to do it as well. It's just so important. Can you imagine what the world would be like if everyone were willing to do that?
Wow.
Yeah. Live your music.
Pretty powerful. Woo-hoo! You know, I just say, Mario, you know, I do think it's because of people like you, Marsh. I mean, I'm just so grateful because we are making a shift. We are making it happen.
Absolutely.
We're giving the path, you know. It's wonderful. Like, celebrate this.
Yeah. Come join us on April 13th in Pasadena.
Yes, we forgot to mention that. But April 13th, that sounds awesome. It's going to be all of you guys there together live. I wish so much that I could be there.
Yeah.
I will be there in spirit. But it sounds like it's going to be absolutely divine. I highly recommend everybody gets the book, and if they can, join all of them down in Pasadena on April 13th. Thank you so much for being on my show and for writing your chapters in the book. I'm really, really thankful for both of you and your contribution for Evolve.
Thank you, Margo.
Thank you
so much, Margo.
You're welcome. Bye for now, everyone. Get out there and live your music. Have a great day. Bye.
Bye.